I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Professor Robert Shmuel. The book is Mr. Churchill in the White House, The Untold Story of a Prime Minister and Two Presidents. There are enormous anecdotes here. Robert's book is enormously entertaining. Eleanor finds Churchill rude and a little wild, wandering around in his bathrobe, smoking cigars. Henry Stimson doesn't like him at all. Neither does George Marshall. However, Congress loves him. The first speech is in December of 1941, as the professor says. It's a huge hit. Everybody in America gets inspired. Churchill was garrulous, and he had a turn of phrase that was magical, and it inspired in the way that leaders are meant to. However, we go through that first meeting, which was a success because it brought together the combined joint commands to stay with the Europe first and not the Pacific, despite the fact that Japan had attacked America, not Germany. Hitler decided to declare war on the U.S. just days after December 7th. But Europe first, and Roosevelt comes back to the White House after that first visit, very successful first visit, in June of 1942, 6 months later. What's happened in the interim are successes in the Pacific, the Battle of the Coral Sea, the Battle of Midway. However, there are blow after blow delivered against the British Empire by the Japanese and by the Germans. And the worst of all is Tobruk. What happened at Tobruk, Bob, that brought Churchill down to made him so low in that second visit?
What happened was that the German forces, the Axis forces, overran Tobruk, which was a fort. It was also a port in Libya, and it was considered a stronghold, a very important stronghold for the British and Commonwealth forces. And something like 33,000 prisoners of war were taken. And it arrived, the news of it arrived with Winston Churchill sitting across from Franklin Roosevelt. And in the book, I try to really sort out the details of what actually happened. And I would say up front, I think they're still in dispute as to what actually happened. But suppose someone came in with a message that was given to the president. He hands it to Churchill. And Churchill says, get confirmation of this before we do anything. Well, confirmation arrives that Tobruk has fallen. And according to Churchill, Roosevelt says, what can we do to help? It's a very, very moving scene. One of the more moving ones of the entire Second World War, I would argue. But what makes it curious to me is that Eleanor Roosevelt sees Winston Churchill shortly after the meeting where they learn that Tobruk has fallen. And Churchill says to Eleanor, what do we do now? I think that's important for this reason. Roosevelt has offered his help. Why would he say to the First Lady, what do we do now, if the president has already offered his help? And again, the details are very much in dispute about all this. What you say and what is absolutely true is that it was one of the lowest points for Winston Churchill during the Second World War. He is on American soil. He is in the White House when that news arrives. And the shock over in Great Britain was so great that people said he should come back immediately. And yet he stayed throughout pretty much an entire week of meeting with Roosevelt, meeting with their military advisors. It is the only time during the Second World War when Churchill flew both ways, over and back. And I think it's a sign of that he was trying to save as much time as possible to work on the war at home. But it's a terribly important sort of pivot point of the war and also of the relationship between Churchill and Roosevelt.
Which is changing all the time. This second visit allows Churchill and Roosevelt time enough to go to Hyde Park in Dutchess County, New York, Roosevelt's childhood home, Springwood, and where Roosevelt can relax. At this point, we need to concentrate on Roosevelt because there are many opinions around him. Churchill is seven or eight years older, but he treats Roosevelt as the prize of the class, the leader of the world that he must make amends with, no matter the disagreement, and this ferocious disagreement. So I'll ask this question, Robert. Did Roosevelt regard Churchill's friendship as sincere, or did he see it as self-interested?
I think he is one of the people, and there would be others in politics.
We have a minute, Professor, 1 minute.
Who is always friendly, but I'm not sure how many friends Franklin Roosevelt actually had. And in the book, I try to point out that, yes, they got along. Both of them were raconteurs, and there are a number of parallels between the two. But over time, I would argue that Roosevelt's opinion begins to change, and he looks for other people with whom he can be friendly. And one of those people is Joseph Stalin.
The book is Mr. Churchill in the White House. Robert Schmuel is the author. When we come back, it's 1943. Much better war, but changing relationship between Mr. Churchill and Mr. Roosevelt.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.